We're down to our final three players, and competition is getting fierce. Amy, Alex, and Gidget are just one episode away from the finals, and I switched things up completely for the challenge this week. What are they going to have to do to survive another week? Find out on America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're just two challenges away from the finish line, and our contestants have the end in sight. On this episode, we'll follow Gidget as she prepares for the newest challenge. She'll meet with Tom for some coaching, and we'll hear her podcast at the end of the show. But before we get to that, let's go back and listen to the challenge that I gave everyone at the end of the last episode. So far in all these challenges, I've given you the type of podcast, and then you've had to come up with a show and give it a name. For this next one, I'm actually going to give you the title of the podcast you're doing and let you come up with the rest. I want you to create an episode of a podcast series called Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. You know, because I don't like short podcast names, apparently. Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. And that pretty much just gives you everything that you need to know right there. We're going back to the week-long time period for making your show because I miss talking to you every week. And we're going back to the 10-minute show limit because I don't miss you that much. And of course, you're going to be meeting with Tom for the next to last time for coaching in the middle of this week. Holy cow. Amy. As winner of this week, you're also going to be getting a little bonus that's going to help you unlock something even more personal to record for your show. Wendy Dunford is a professional therapist, blogger, and a weekly contributor to The Morning Stream, and she has agreed to give you a 10-minute therapy session where you're either going to rediscover a deeper side of you to record into your diary show, or you're going to finally find out that you've been Tyler Durden the whole time. Spoiler alert. That session is going to take place tomorrow, and I'm going to work with you and Wendy to coordinate and record it. I'm here with Gidget Von LaRue. Hello, Gidget.
Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm good. Top three. Welcome to top three.
Oh, my God. That is crazy. It's crazy because I didn't even think I'd ever, like, I entered this competition thinking no chance I was going to get on. It's America's Next Top Podcaster. And I thought there's no chance, but it's worth a try. And my theory mm-hmm. always is people can only say no. So right. It's worth a try. It's worth an effort to ask or to apply or to do that. And I don't think I've revealed as well because I know you're a big reality show fan. I have actually been on a reality show in Australia.
Oh, really? Oh, now you get to tell me this. Yeah. Which one?
Well, it was one of the first reality shows when cable first started. Mm-hmm. They decided to do a barbecue reality show and I entered for a joke. It was just a dare kind of thing. I couldn't cook. So it was a barbecue show, but I couldn't cook. And I actually ate raw sausage in the audition. And for some reason, it must have been a whole bunch of blokes judging me. they put me on it. And I was out the first round. But then I got invited to do a commercial for Barbecues Galore here in Australia.
Okay.
And one of the guys that was like the final guy, and then they picked me as well. And I got paid like $2,500 for the
probably
day.
Got paid as much as the winner did for doing the commercial, right?
Exactly.
And he went through all that work and you got out in the first round.
I know. It was a very strange experience, but I love that in life. I love very weird, quirky experiences because, you know, when you're on your deathbed, no one ever says, oh, I didn't work hard enough. Everyone always thinks, what did I do that was really quirky? What did I do that was really fun? What can I remember in my life? Mm-hmm. And I love doing stuff like that. Even though when they booted me, I did cry. So I relate to people on reality shows.
Well, that is a reality show trope. You have to cry when you leave a reality show. It's a rule.
And I'm not a crier. I'm not one of those girls that cries easily. Like, I'll cry in a movie, but I don't cry generally. I know that you've got cats.
Yes.
Or a cat.
Well, just one, yep. Mm-hmm.
Just one cat. All right, my cat died about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. She lived up to 19 years old. I thought she had been that. What they say about, you know, a cat has 9 lives. Mm-hmm. That is so true, because I thought she had been dead several times, and I was ready for it. You know, I was prepared for it, and then I kind of knew. She'd been an amazing cat. She never scratched furniture. She never jumped up on anything.
Sure.
She was a very strange cat. But she'd had a really good life, and that to me is the most important. And she disappeared under the house, and I'm thinking, please don't die under the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we're gonna
have to get you out of there, and we can't fit under there. And she died by the side of the house. I didn't cry. Mm. And that's what I'm saying about the crying thing. I just thought she had a good life. And mm-hmm. none of us are Highlander, you know. We've all got our infinite time, so you right. may as well have a good time. And she had a good life, so.
Oh, absolutely. Now, when you say, I wanted to come back to something you said. When you said that you thought she'd been dead several times, is she just a heavy sleeper, or was she just a heavy sleeper? What do you mean? You just think that there were several times that she came close to death, or.
I honestly think I got her as a kitten, as a rescue kitten with the neighbours, that they had cats. And she was weird, because all the rest were ginger cats and she was this sort of grey and white cat. And I named her Ripley because calling her Jones was too obvious.
Right.
So yeah. I called her Ripley because Perfect. I thought, you've just got to keep going and going and going. And weirdly enough, she did. She just kept going. We'd go on holidays and get the neighbors to feed her. We didn't put her in a cattery or anything like that. And the neighbors forgot to feed her, but she just managed, but she never killed anything. You know, she was never that cat that like killed
a
rat.
Not a hunter.
Or
right.
a bird. No, she yeah. wasn't a hunter at all.
Yeah.
She was just very complacent, and she would sit out the back of our house and we'd feed all the Australian parrots, and they'd drop all the seed on her and she'd just sit there. With the seed falling on her. She was a phenomenal cat. But the weird thing was, I think when you reach a certain age, you've seen certain people that you love and care for die.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realize none of us are going to live forever. The best that we can do is have a really good life. And she had a really good life.
Yeah.
So when she got out of the bottom of the house and she got to the side of the house and passed away. I was there. I patted her. I just said farewell, and she passed away. And I think we've all got to accept that as just a part of our life. But this is not part of the podcast.
I know. No, it's funny, but this is great.
I'm
this
sorry.
Is great. No, I think here's why it's just amazing that you didn't use any of this stuff for the storytellers. I mean, you had a great story, so you did the right thing with your choice for the Storytellers podcast. But I think you could do a dozen of these in the competition, a dozen different storytelling podcasts, because I'd want to hear more about the reality show. I'd want to hear more about your cat. I'd want to hear more about, it's great. All right. Let's talk about the current thing. And, actually real quickly about the interview thing, your point a minute ago is it never hurts to ask. You did just that for your interview podcast. You asked a bunch of people. You ended up with a really great interview, I think. And, but you know, again, that's a great lesson for interview podcasters out there. All someone can do is say no. You know, you're not going to burn any bridges in the industry by asking. You're not going to, you're not even going to make it so that a no isn't always no. You might get a no now, and then in a few years, try again and you might get a yes. Frank Oz is just waiting to get back from his vacation to hit you up for an interview. I just know it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've always lived like that through my entire life. Even just shopping,
mm-hmm.
you know, going into a shop and going, can you do a discount on this?
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, I'd be shopping with my mother and she's like, how can you have the nerve to say that? And I'm like, well, they can only say no.
Right.
Don't be disappointed with it. If you can accept the fact that people are going to say no, mm-hmm. you can't be disappointed in it. They're just being honest. And Frank Oz never said no. He just said, not now.
Yeah, right.
But happy. And I'm like, brilliant, brilliant. That's brilliant. If we can have you on a further podcast, that is fantastic. And as I said when we did the whole interview and the judging, Ian Nathan was one of those people that I really wanted to talk to. Mm-hmm. I got the opportunity to talk to Sergeant Gerard.
Right.
And we had that disaster.
The technical issue. Oh, I know.
It's crushing because I even wanted to hear about what he said, because in the moment you're taking it on board. Mm-hmm. You're trying to not be disrespectful for what they're saying. So you're trying to listen to what they say and build on that,
right,
rather than go, right, next question.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And I've never wanted to be that sort of person. So I've done a few interviews now. I did an interview with Robin Block a while ago, who is the executive producer of the In Search of Darkness, which is big 80s horror movie.
You mentioned that
documentary.
You mentioned that during the show. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So I did an interview with him, and it was only meant to be, we only do an hour podcast. He and I started talking, and already we'd gone into 40 minutes of just chatting about how awesome 80s horror movies are. So we had to break it into a two-parter. And we broke it into that, and then I did one of our top tens at the end, which he hopped on board, and he got some of his staff to help him with you know, what movies to pick and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But then I got this email not that long ago of him saying, you were my favorite, and he's been interviewed by podcasts, TV, radio, mm-hmm. the whole lot of media.
It,
and
yeah.
I got this email from him saying, I want you to be the one to interview me for my announcement for our next interview.
That's amazing.
Because I had the most fun on you. Because I think I just let him talk. I said to him, look, this is a promotion for your documentary. I'll ask some questions, but you just go. We've got, you know, with our podcast, we had no time limit mm-hmm. on it. So I just let him talk about it and promote it. And yeah. Out of the blue, it turns out he really liked that.
So well, and I think that's definitely one of your strengths, and it has been in this competition, is that you're very easygoing, very conversational. I mean, again, you know, I do these interviews every week with the contestants, and now that it's individuals, I'm going to be talking to you guys every week. And we're already 10 minutes in, and I haven't even gotten to talking to you about this week's challenge. And it's that easy. It's that conversational with you, which I think is a reason you should be doing podcasting. Like if you ever needed confirmation and the proof from up above that you should be podcasting, it is the fact that we're 10 minutes in, we haven't even started talking about the thing that we need to talk about.
Well, it's weird talking about the thing that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% creative, absolutely zero intelligence kind of thing. I can't work anything out. I'm glad I'm with the person that I'm with because he can work everything out.
Right.
But I'm very squirrel.
Right, right. The easily shiny objects. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm painting, and I'm doing all these paintings. I'm selling a couple, which is really cool. And then it's like squirrel. And then I'm suddenly over to FIMO, and I'm doing characters with FIMOs and, you know, making shapes, and I sold a couple of them on Etsy.
Okay.
And then I started the podcasting thing. And it really was my niche. I love reading about things. Mm-hmm. I love 80s movies. Mm-hmm. I love history. And I, strangely enough, I love talking. Uh-huh. So I thought, what is a combo of all these things? And that's what I'm trying to do within this, you know, Diary of a Reality Competition podcast contest.
Right, right.
Is trying to pull together. But I really want it to be me. I want it to be funny because that's my life every day. You know, we laugh every day. I love a laugh. I love something making me laugh. Mm-hmm. I love making someone laugh. And I really want to encapsulate that. So at the moment I've written three scripts.
Okay.
But I'm really worried about the scripts thing as well, about sounding reading. And I'm thinking maybe I should just do bullet points and then just go off my own memory.
It depends on how well you do with the bullet points versus the scripts. I tend to like to script things out, but I will be very like this, if the script is the yellow stripe down the middle of the road, I'm hopping back and forth between each lane as I'm going down the script. I mean, it's always something to come back to, but I use it as a way to recenter if I need to. And even as a placeholder, if I do decide I'm going to kind of improvise something, add something into it, like my stuff that I do for the hosting for this show, when I'm announcing the next challenge, that's all scripted out. Obviously, I don't think there's any surprise there, but I do try to read it in a way that makes it sound like, maybe not like I'm coming up with it on the fly, but in a way that's more conversational than, here is the next challenge you guys are going to be doing next week. That sort of thing.
Yeah. I was listening to that before you and I started talking, mm-hmm. because Hammond put that up on Discord. Yeah. And I was listening to your intros, and I'm thinking, God, that's so much like me, because I know to just say it. If I know I've said it bad, I just stop, leave a pause, say it again.
Right.
And that was just between you and me, the weird thing with Fargo, and that week that we did the movie podcast, that's why it took so long, because every time one of us mucked up, we talked about it for like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's – no, I need to just get right back into it. I'll maybe throw out a quick expletive or something, and I'll say, all right, I'm picking it back up from this line.
I just do when we're recording the Retro Cinema, stop. Mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. do that, and then I just start again. Yeah. But it's that weird thing of analyzing what went wrong, and it just makes editing so very hard mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. do. Because to catch up again when it's done right, and look, it's been a fantastic challenge. It really has. It's been a real challenge for me regarding editing, especially. I haven't done as much editing as before I started this competition. Sure. To work out everything and to work out when to put in something. And I just re-listened to when I told my dad's World War II stories. And then I listened again to when we got lambasted by Justin. Right. Justin tore us to shreds.
He does
on that
it with
one.
Love.
And look, I agree with him. No, look, there's no bullshit about Justin. Justin's just, here it is. This is how I feel about it.
For sure. Take it or leave it. This is my
opinion. Yeah, he's very take it or leave it. And I'm mm-hmm. quite like Justin as well. I'm very much not a fence sitter. I like, you know, there's a diplomatic way in doing it and the way that you do it. And then when you push, I can be Justin very easily.
Well, and sometimes you need that Band-Aid just ripped off as quickly as possible so you can start the open air healing of like, all right, how do we fix this? What do we do for the next competition? As opposed to, oh, we thought it was really, really good. We loved it. And by the way, it kind of sucked, but let's move on. It's like, oh, hold on. Can we come back to that part? So yeah, I can totally understand that.
The weird thing is I was never delusional about the week when we did the gaming one, because I'm just not officially a gamer. And all I could do was my memories of in the 80s, and I felt responsible for Brad going that week, because I really thought I was a goner, because at least he and mm-hmm. Alex had a little bit of back and forth. They were around the same age, so they could hit it back and forth.
Right,
they were talking
right,
about
right, no
movies.
Problem at all. Yeah.
I'd be in there like a – but it was like I just done this intro. I edited it. And I wrote down on the notepads, because I'm always like writing all the time during the judging. I'm gone. I'm thinking I just didn't have that interconnection. And it was the same with the Fargo thing as well, when I protested about it, that I wasn't involved and I didn't. And I went away and wrote another script that was completely mm-hmm. fairy tale. I changed all the names. I changed the locations, all to suit mm-hmm. listening for a child to listen to, and it just got completely booted out.
Yeah,
and
I remember seeing. I could kind of tell that in Discord with the way things were going back and forth, that it was something that that not everybody was on board with. And you know what? I think that that is the right thing to do. You state your mind, and if it doesn't pull through or doesn't if it falls on deaf ears, then you just go with it and you see how things come out in the end. But Yeah, I totally get that. Now moving back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought I'd be really angry with myself if I didn't mm-hmm. hadn't have said anything. And to be fair, you know, mm-hmm. Curry wasn't eliminated. She quit because of medical reasons, sadly. But mm-hmm. Jerry and Brad got pretty far through. So even with that situation with that week, both my team members.
They absolutely did. Yeah, absolutely. And the comedy week certainly helped with that as yeah. well. I think the unintentional comedy, or not unintentional, unplanned comedy of comedy week, which I think was great.
You've got to utilize what you've got. You've got to utilize what you've got. We had no idea that Brad was just going to be so bloody terrible at.
Right.
Remembering the lines.
He just got so flustered.
He couldn't even remember one line. And it was brilliant.
It is that comedy that I think if we don't see as part of this week, as part of this upcoming diary episode, I think we're going to be obviously very disappointed because we know that's your strong suit. And
what would you prefer? Because mm-hmm. there's obviously three of us left. I have a feeling that Amy's probably going to go more a heartfelt, probably diary story. It's the one thing that everyone's frightened of is comedy, but it's the one thing that I really enjoy. I used to be a lot funnier in the younger years. I think as you get older, comedy just gets sucked out of you.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when you're 20s and you're really funny and like in high school, you were
a different kind of comedy as you get older. There's the observational comedy when you're young. And then as you get older, it is the snarky, jaded, it's still comedy, but it's snarky and jaded biting wit, I think.
It but I was more like that in my 30s. And now in my late 40s, I'm thinking, oh, God, I used to be really funny. Where did that go?
Right.
Now, where did that humor go? Or am I frightened to say these things?
Is it proper for somebody in their 40s to laugh and joke about this sort of thing or that sort of thing? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's where's the limit? And that was the other thing I was going to say. Can you swear?
Em will bleep this out. Sure, absolutely.
Really? Sweet. Thanks, Hammond. Because I've said shit a couple of times in my thing. But I've written three, and tomorrow I'm basically going to record all three of them and just see what I think. But it's all about, you know, that's my one thing mm-hmm. is just entertaining people and looking back at when I did my dad's World War II stories, I thought of the perfect ending for it.
Yeah, but going back like and looking at those. Now. Right. No, that is a thing. It's so tough to put something out, turn it in or put it out on the feed, and then a month later say, oh my God, you know what would have been perfect for that is blah, blah, blah. And it's so easy to do that in retrospect. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was like, why didn't I say, and now it's my dad. And then I started talking and then it melted into my father talking at the end. Like it went from my voice to his voice. And I'm like, shit, why didn't I think of that? But, you know,
totally
look, in life, you can't go back. You know, we're not time travelers. So you've just got to move on and forward and do the best that you can, but I'm going to try.
I want you to get to Vegas too. And I'm not telling the judges, that you coming to Vegas hinges on whether you win or not, because I don't want that to affect their decisions. But
don't. But I'm just happy that you want me to come absolutely. To Vegas, because I'd really love to meet you. I'd love to meet everybody. And you know, the fact that mom's willing to pay for my air ticket is brilliant. So I would love to come. And the funny thing is, I'll be there for like 4 days. I come back. It's about a week and a half.
So,
and then I go
so
to
Vegas
Hawaii
and then Hawaii. And
mom.
The great thing is, it's way, you know, flying to Hawaii from Vegas, way easier than flying to Hawaii from, well, maybe not flying from Australia to Hawaii. Oh, no, between
I've got
trips.
To come back.
Well, there you
I've
go.
Actually got to come back. So, yeah, but at least there at least go. If I fly with my mom, I go business class. So that's pretty cool. So it's all good. The flying thing doesn't bother me at all, but I've been to Vegas before. Sure. It's brilliant fun. I'm not a gambler personally, But I love it.
And those things all flow very freely in Vegas.
Show,
excellent.
they
oh, it is. Oh,
it's for, without Disneyland a doubt.
That's,
for adults,
that's one of my favorite ways to look at it. And I like Disneyland too, but I like Vegas for a whole different reasons. Yeah.
I do too. I do too. I like going back to my childhood. I like childish things. Maybe it's because I never had kids, but I'm just a big kid. But for you sure. know, I also well, like all the adults.
I think we've got what we need for for this week. You've just got 2 weeks left, and then Vegas, right? That's the plan.
Oh my God, this is so weird, Brian. It's
because
so
you're doing
weird.
Really well.
How am you know, I final three? How does that happen?
I know the subject of your accent comes up a lot, but it is obviously, and you should know this, and you already, I'm sure you do know this, that it is so much more than that. That it is that you've got this great, easygoing personality that is perfect for podcasting. You know, it's not an NPR, very straight delivery. It's not a newscaster kind of thing where it's very studied and measured. It's a very easygoing, easy to listen to voice and delivery. And I think that whether it's comedy, whether it's an interview, whether it's informational or movie related, food related, whatever, you've got this very natural delivery to you. And I think that's what's gotten you all the way to top three here. So let's see how much further it takes you. Yeah, keep it going.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, look, I'd love to have one of those sort of Amy voices or a newsreader sure. voice, you know, the whole, you know. I mean, I can do it.
But it wouldn't be you.
I can do it.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But I can't be anything but me.
And you know what? I think you shouldn't wish for Amy's voice because I'm sure Amy wishes for your voice and you guys both have great voices. So. we'll ask
sure
her after this contest.
I'm
we'll
sure she does.
Ask her when everything's done and ask her. So, how do you think you would have done if you had an Australian accent? We'll ask Brad how he.
Right? Ask Brad.
Right, he'd be top three, of course. Nah. Excellent. Well, Gidget, great talking to you and look forward to listening in with your time with Tom later and seeing what you turn in at the end of the week. Just one. You can't turn all three, just one. And we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Gidget, how's it going?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good interview last week.
Thank you.
I really like the anecdotes that you got out of him, especially the one about the Coen brothers, where one of them was going into the bathroom, flicking the light switch on and off. Like, if anything, I wanted more of that. Like, I wanted you to really get conversational with him, because when you did, it was really enjoyable.
Thank you. And it was, as I said, it was really, really hard editing because the entire hour and a bit was, all of it was gold. It was all fascinating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know what Justin was saying, as in maybe you've just picked one, just his interviews or maybe just the books or, mm-hmm. or maybe just this or just that. But he was so interesting and he has so many facets of his life. I wanted everyone to share that as well as I shared it with him.
Yeah.
So, it was really Sophie's choice. And, you know, I cut out the whole Peter Jackson thing as well. I really wanted to, for him to get across all the amazing things that he does. So it was a real sort of dedication to him rather than, you know, me just, because I got really chatty at the end and then it was just me. And I'm just thinking, oh God, edit that out.
Well, I think your editing was really good because I didn't really notice that it was heavily edited. In fact, did you edit your goodbye? Because I felt like maybe you did, but it was really smooth.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it was very, very heavily edited. Yep. But that's the great thing about this competition. I've just got better and better with the editing. It's really helped me improve my editing skills, and I've learned a few other things with the program that I use, and I've learned to take echo out and stuff like that. It's been great. Yeah,
good. You're doing better than me now, which because I do everything live on tape. all right, let's talk about Diary of a Reality contestant. So you've been this week. We've been given the title. What's your approach going to be?
I've written out three I was basically, the first thing that I went to was just a little tiny snippet about me, and then how I'm not generally a competitive person apart from when playing Monopoly, but then again, everyone is when playing Monopoly. But just how unlikely it was that, I was born, first of all, and how unlikely it was that I got onto this America's Next Top Podcaster. I mean, it was just crazy. I remember my partner going, just go for it, enter it. And I thinking there's no way, it's in the title, America's Next Top Podcaster.
Yeah,
why are they gonna get an Aussie on there? And when Brian
certainly
through,
wouldn't make
like,
it in the final three, even if I did.
No,
get
God
it.
No. No way. I was freaked out the fact that I was accepted, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm gone first week. I am gone first week. This is just a novelty. I remember Justin first week going, I love her accent. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm just that novelty. And then second week they're going, oh, we're bored with her accent. So,
uh-huh. And you're like, oh, I guess I'm out. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, to make it finals three is just absolutely phenomenal. So I really want to come in it creatively, and I'm going to record a couple of versions today. And then when my partner gets home tonight, whichever version he finds interesting and he laughs at, that's the one that I'll put in.
Oh, good. You're focus grouping it. I like it.
Yeah. He is my harshest critic.
Okay.
He's. To make him laugh, it takes a lot. So if I can get him to laugh or amuse him, and he's got a really short attention span as well.
Uh-huh.
So if he approves of it, then that's the one that I will put in. But it's just going to be about my experience during this entire competition, because it's just been fascinating.
Are you going to do two different approaches?
I'm going to do about three, I think.
Okay, what are the different approaches?
One, I'm going to be a bit more goofy,
mm-hmm.
I think. That's the thing. I've done a lot of things dedicated to other people, and this one I think I just really would just want to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I just want to see what I can pull out of myself. And, I was speaking to Brian last night and I said, isn't it weird? Because, I used to be really funny. I remember, at school and in my early 20s, and it's kind of like the older you get, the less funny you are. I don't know what that is.
I think it's because your references date out,
Yeah, it must
be. It's harder to keep
up. Yeah, I remember being sort of Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles, and now I'm sort of Mel Brooks. Life stinks.
Uh-huh. So you're going to do a goofy approach? Like what, a serious approach or what else?
A more reality-based approach, and then I'm just going to do a silly approach and just see if that works.
Okay.
A more sort of a parody of a diary.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
What would the goofy approach be then?
More like a soap opera or something. Make it just really stupidly over dramatic, and
What struck me when you were talking earlier, and this might be fit in the reality approach, or maybe even the parody, because of the unlikeliness factor, you could explain it the way they explain scientific principles, right? Like the chances of this happening are, and they don't even have to be real numbers, right? You can have fun with it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Just to talk about like, the way Neil deGrasse Tyson, whatever his name is, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he explains like the unlikeliness of life evolving, you could apply that to yourself.
That's it. I like that. I really like that idea, actually.
Yeah, think of those kind of little structures like that you can add. I love the parody diary idea too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the Bill Nye science guy and sort of, I know who you're talking about. Neil, I can never say his name either.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse?
Neil. We'll just call him Neil.
It? Yeah.
We're friends with him, with Neil.
That guy that knows about the planets, that dude, yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. That's the way I was thinking, and sort of that sort of – him, or that sort of style, or Attenborough. I could
David
always go the sort of Attenborough. Yeah, because I'm a massive fan of Sir David Attenborough. So I think of that as well. Take it
there
sort
are
of
millions
more in nature.
Podcast. Yeah.
That's, yeah, yeah, totally yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think now that you just did that, I think I'm going to try that one first.
Yeah, have fun with it. I think because the thing that is challenging about this is Diary of a Reality Contestant puts the judges in a certain frame of mind of what they're going to get. And you need to subvert that expectation or overachieve it. And your approach sounds really good at subverting that expectation.
That's it. And actually, you've just given me an idea. I could always do the Steve Irwin thing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Crikey. Yeah, yeah.
Lean right into the accent.
Just overdo it. And I was going to put an ad in the middle.
Oh, really?
Because I just thought, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah.
Put an ad.
Why not?
Because they actually do sell here in Australia kangaroo scrotum purses.
Well, I mean, how can you lose, right?
How can you go wrong with kangaroo scrotum purses? They're so handy.
You'll immediately win Scott's vote with that one.
Oh, God. This has been great, actually, because, yeah, this has sort of sparked my – now I can focus a bit more on it.
Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, you're always really good at being prepared. You always have a few ideas and things that you're going after. It's just a matter of figuring out, like, what's that structure, what's that focus to go after once you sit down and do it. So I'm excited.
Oh, cool. All right. Because that's the thing. I mean, it's very easy to do a very serious podcast or do a story. I think the hardest ones are comedy because everyone's got a different sense of humor.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. But I think you can – what I like about the idea of doing an Steve Irwin type of thing is you're part of your story is your accent. And so you can accentuate that while you're telling the story, right?
Yeah.
So there's a cool little meta thing in there that you can play with that nobody else has.
Awesome. Yeah, I can just overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Overdo it, go for it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
And at least you've said kangaroo scrotum purses.
That's my goal in life. That's my goal in life is to get away with saying that on a podcast.
To have a legitimate reason to say it, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Cool.
All right. I'm going to try a few versions. I'll try my Attenborough version. I'll try my Steve Irwin version.
And that is lame.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, this is great. I like the focus group idea. Good luck, Gidget. I can't wait to hear it.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the chat. And honestly, you've focused me a lot more. I'm not a very focused person. So well done. Thank you.
Thanks. That's what we're here for.
Cool bananas. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Or night.
Hi, I'm Gidget Von LaRue, and I'm in the final three contestants of America's Next Top Podcaster. It's exciting, huh? Well, how did I get here? Let's go back, shall we? I was born in 1970 in the beach suburb of Coogee, Sydney, Australia. I had a pretty normal childhood and parents that really loved movies. Enter my teens and the 80s and 80s movies.
Don't call me stupid.
Why not?
Fred Krueger, Mom. Fred Krueger.
Who the hell are you anyway?
Come out to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs.
2 days ago, I saw a vehicle that had hauled that tanker. You want to get out of here? You talk to me.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
Help you again? Yes?
The women. How much for the women?
What?
You see, what we're talking about here is an organism that imitates other life forms, and it imitates them perfectly.
I didn't know they let bad girls into these things.
Be still my beating heart. Wait, what? I can watch these now on Beta and then VHS at home? What is this magic and wonder? My brother became a ninja at pausing certain scenes in movies.
By the way, food and rent are not the only things around here that cost money. You sleep on the couch.
Strangely, he's an editor now. jump forward to September 2016. After exchanging Highlander movie quotes with a Twitter friend, Angry Man, we had reached a decision. There doesn't only have to be one. So let's do a podcast dedicated to 80s movies we loved back then and we still love now. Well, I mean, why not? There can't be that many podcasts out there. So the Retro Cinema Podcast was created. I was doing something I was super passionate and dedicated to, and I was loving every minute of it. 2018 comes around, and my partner says,
"You know that podcast, The Morning Stream?"
I sure do.
Brian Ibbett is starting a podcast competition. You should enter.
you're not serious, right?
Sure I am. You're as good as anybody. What have you got to lose?
Look, he had a point. I mean, look, they could only say no. Or insult me. Just breaking in now with a quick word from our sponsor.
Kangaroo Ballsack Purses. You're not a limp sheeler if you've got a kangaroo ballsack purse. Carry your change, your gum, your tucker in a kangaroo ballsack purse. Fair dinkum, you'll be as butch as buggery with a kangaroo ballsack purse. Skippy don't mind. Big Red approves. Kangaroo ballsack purses. Buy them.
I filled in the forms, sent in what was required, and crossed my fingers. If I had not revealed it now, I'm Australian. And this competition was called America's Next Top Podcaster. I was thinking I had more of a chance of getting on British Bake Off, even though I'm not British and I can't bake.
That is beautiful. This is about the basics being done well, and I think at this early stage it's a fantastic challenge.
One cold, misty morning, I awoke to the sound of... All right, it wasn't misty and it wasn't cold, and I'm just adding some ambience to the whole reveal. I got an email from Brian basically saying, I'm part of this podcast reality competition. 12 contestants, one host, 3 judges, one coach with guest coaches, one editor, and weekly challenges. That's what we were in for.
Three judges, one coach, and 12 contestants, all on a search to find America's next top podcaster.
It was a really new experience being in a team and recording a podcast with people I just didn't know. I'm sure all the others felt the same. The novelty of my accent seemed to impress the judges the first week. All I could think about is how long will this curiosity last? Next week, should I do a German or a Spanish accent? Should I speak with a super high voice or just go more ochre? I trusted my gut and I stayed totally myself. Although I did get to do my old lady voice, so score.
Yes, you did. And I had a hootenanny of a time, young lady.
We ventured into podcast subjects of food, stories, interviews. Hi, Rob. Movies. The whole time, dreading the next subject is either going to be like politics or religion or even worse... Coriander. Is it great or is it the devil's food? Not every week was golden. We all felt the cold whiplash of loss. Builds character, I heard once, but I'll take winning over character building any day. Team meetings were especially tricky for my teammates as, well, I live on the other side of the world. My night was their day, and being a total night owl, I had to start living like normal folk and not like a 19-year-old party animal. I was thrilled to get the chance to promote eating kangaroo in our second challenge that was food. I'm still pretty sure I promised Brian and all the judges I'd send them some, so I promise I will. On interview week, I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing Rob Cesternino. Okay, of course I fangirled, being a longtime Survivor fan, and Rob is still one of my favourite contestants. We didn't win that week because, well, fangirling. I also got to interview Ian Nathan, ex-editor of UK Empire magazine, movie book author and TV personality. Like Rob, he was totally charming and sharing, and it really tested my editing merit with an interview over an hour to get it down to 20 minutes. I could have chatted to him for a week. When two movie lovers get talking, it is dangerous. I think my biggest joy was telling my late father's World War II diary entries. I was teamed with Alex, and after we went through every idea under the sun and some, He was kind enough to get on board for me to tell my father's words. I did skip the diary where he talked about his sexual conquests while serving overseas. That might be left for another podcast. I was initially on three Yanks and an Aussie. Guess who was the Aussie? Oi. Contestants started to go each week and I was still in it. Then Brian shook up the teams and I'll be honest, I honestly thought I was a goner every single week. I never sat back so confident thinking, oh, this week we or I have it in the bag. All the feedback from the judges and coaching from Tom was all invaluable. Chats with Brian are always a hoot. And hey, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them. So this is my podcast entry. Is it my last for America's Next Top Podcaster? I've had a fantastic time, and here's hoping I can make it all the way to the end.
Yep. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Kangaroo Ballsack Purses. Buy 'em.
That was Gidget's entry for Diary Week. On the next episode, we'll catch up with Alex to see how he's doing with the challenge. And later this week, we'll hear from Amy and get to our judging and elimination episode. All coming up on America's Next Top Podcaster.